Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Journey to Grateful podcast, a podcast to help clarify the process of loss and grief through experiences shared from myself and others living with loss. I'm your host, Tim Begonia, and this is show number 126. In this podcast, I will review the many common myths of grief to help you better prepare for the road ahead. You are invited to join the Journey to Grateful community and share your very own story to help others better understand grief, how it affects us moving forward, and how best to navigate its difficult path. I also encourage you to join the community over at Facebook and Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you prefer for your podcasts, and find quick links to do both over at journeytograteful.com. And lastly, I ask that you take a moment to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Doing so will help this podcast reach more people like yourself in need of an insightful grief resource which can help them navigate their grief journey. Now, I believe it's fair to assume most everyone realizes that grief is quite complicated and not an easy journey. However, I wonder how many understand the existence and complexity of secondary loss. That is to say, the additional losses we will experience, all associated with the loss of your loved one. As an example, secondary loss can be associated with plans you once had with your loved one, which now can no longer be fulfilled in their absence. This is secondary loss, and unfortunately, only one example of many. Let's grab a cup of coffee and discuss the importance of grasping the reality of secondary loss and how best to prepare for it. When someone close to you passes, the true reality of your grief and mourning is that you will be dealing with more than just one loss. With the death of a loved one, your experiences going forward will be reflective of much more than just that one loss. You will find the losses which walk alongside your initial grief, or develop as a consequence of the passing you are mourning, are known as secondary loss. Keep in mind, this is not to say these are secondary in terms of their importance to you, only in terms of their being dependent upon the death of your person. Secondary losses, like any other losses, can either be physical or psychosocial. Now, let me pause here and define psychosocial because, honestly, when I first came across this term, I needed to understand what it actually was. Psychosocial, involving both psychological and social aspects relating to the interrelation of social factors as well as individual thoughts and behavior. Describing the intersection and interaction of social, cultural, and environmental influences on the mind and behavior. Now, I'm sure that was a lot to digest. So here's a more simplistic example. The loss of a relationship is a secondary loss that is associated with psychosocial loss. The loss of a house, for instance, because you no longer can afford it, is a secondary loss as it relates to physical loss. Now, ultimately, little known and unspoken side effects of grieving the loss of your loved one will mean you will also identify and mourn many inevitable secondary losses, which can be more complex and more numerous than you may first suspect. Here are a few secondary losses you may need to consider as you attempt to navigate the complexities of your grief. The loss of the various roles that your loved one specifically had played in your life. For instance, spouse, best friend, sexual partner, confidant, cook, travel companion, sounding board. Now, this last one can often be associated with parents who have come to depend upon each other to co-parent and help keep the other in check as discipline is needed or child challenges need to be faced and addressed or even simple family decisions need to be measured and implemented. I can't count on one hand how many times and how often Colleen and I depended upon each other to discuss parenting decisions, especially when one of us was triggered a bit more than the other by something one of our kids would do or say or what they wanted. It was always important for us to share our frustrations so that the other could help to keep us in check as we took the time to calm down and or gather a more reasonable reaction to any given situation. You might say this is a pretty large secondary loss, one of which I personally have experienced and continue to experience as the years tick by. I have no one to discuss these moments with, and thus I need to regulate my responses to any family matters all on my own, which isn't always necessarily my strength as a father, but somehow we get by. Now, moving on to additional secondary losses of which you might need to be aware. Now, let me suggest one of which most people never tend to consider until they are actually experiencing it. The loss of meaning and satisfaction in the role you played in your loved one's life and their role that they played in your life. Now, I'll speak specifically to the relationship of a spouse, although it is not limited to that type of loss. Colleen and I settled nicely into various roles within our relationship, whether it be keeping up the house, different parenting styles, everyday unseen chores, financial care. I think you get the idea there. We kind of played to our strengths. Now, when you strip down what I'm saying here, this secondary loss results in you needing to step up and take care of everything, absolutely everything. And the hidden detail of this secondary loss is facing it all with little or with no additional outside support, no external voice of reason to help you make choices and decisions, as Colleen's voice was for me. In addition to this, the reality is you now have no reinforcement that you're doing well, no guidance to help you steer back on course when you need it, and no subtle smile that tells you that you mean something more to someone than words could ever communicate. And finally, a secondary loss which becomes very evident in the initial days of loss, and it continues far beyond. The loss of all the hopes and dreams you had for and with that person. Loss of plans that you had together. The loss of that road ahead for which you were both working to pave with your future, or hopes you had for them as you watched them grow and develop into their own independent person. Keeping in mind the reality of secondary loss is a companion for all loss, not just the loss of a spouse. Equally as important, secondary losses can occur in what is known as your assumptive world. Anyone's assumptive world is the unique set of expectations, assumptions, and beliefs that you formerly had held about life. With your loss, you often lost more or all of your assumptions, expectations, and beliefs that had all been based upon your loved one being present in your life in one way or another. Examples might be the thought that he will always be there for me when I need him, or one day she will make me a grandparent. Other more general but still quite important elements of your assumptive world, which didn't depend upon the existence of your loved one, also can be undermined by your loved one's death. Things such as your belief in God, your overall security in the world you live and exist within, or moreover, your expectations about life being predictable and fair. This last one takes a big hit when someone you care for and expect to be here for years and years to come is suddenly gone. Associated with this can also be trust, or the lack thereof. The trust you used to have that the sun would rise tomorrow, that laughter will always be in your heart, that plans and dreams do, in fact, come true. And this is where support becomes most important. the people that you surround yourself with during your time of grief will and can help you make your grief reasonable without the uncontrollable despair, which can lead oftentimes to depression. Secondary loss can be a substantial surprise if you are not aware that it is something for which you need to prepare. Therese A. Rando, PhD, details 12 insights into grieving after the death of your loved one, of which I've based much of this episode's content upon. She offers two suggestions as to how you can best address secondary loss. First, over time, identify the secondary losses that come to you as a result of your loved one's death so that you can mourn them. They are a part of your bereavement. What's most important here is realizing what they are and addressing them head on so as to embrace them as a part of your grief journey. And once again, the more that we know, the better we will be prepared to live through these many unexpected aspects of our grief going forward. And secondly, she suggests we work to revise our assumptive world to the extent that elements of it are no longer valid or have been shattered because of our loved one's death. In other words, face what we had once believed to be true, what we assumed was fact, and come to terms with the realities of as many of these aspects of life as we possibly can. Doing so will allow us to be more present in the reality of life and free up more energy for walking through our grief as successfully as possible. So once again, what is secondary loss? It's those many details of our lives that were once a large part of our life before our loss, but which have been affected or eliminated because of our loss. Going forward, it's best to understand this will not be one or two simple details, but many details and aspects of our lives we often take for granted, but will now become a side effect, a casualty, in fact, of the loss of our loved one. So please keep in mind, the more we know, the more we can honestly face our grief journey, then the better we will walk this path and navigate the changed life that stands before us. The losses that go along with or develop as a consequence of your loved one's death are secondary losses from which you cannot hide. But you too can find the strength to pick up those pieces someday and rearrange them into a life after loss as long as you understand them better. Thank you again for listening to the Journey to Grateful podcast. I'm thankful for you taking the time to listen to this podcast and sharing it with others. And I encourage you to stop by the community on social media, share your story and your insights on grief, and join our community and our family in helping others on their path. Head on over to journeytograteful.com/community to find ways to join the conversation and make a true difference through your story. And while you're on the site, sign up for my bi-monthly newsletter designed to provide you inspiration and motivation. And if you would like a more personal connection directly with me, send me an email, tim@journeytograteful.com. But why stop there? Why don't you give me a phone call? Give me a phone call, leave me a voice message, or simply text me, and the number is 262-298-2428. That's 262-298-CHAT. Lastly, help me build this community, broaden my reach, and support my mission by reviewing this show and telling others why you listen over at Apple Podcasts. I provided you a leave a review button at journeytograteful.com on the homepage and the podcast page. Your support of this podcast through your comments is a very powerful thing that you can do today, and I thank you so much for reaching out. Now, although an inspirational quote doesn't quite seem to exist for the secondary loss subject here alone, I've been able to find a wonderful writing by Maya Angelou, which encompasses pieces of this grief journey we find ourselves navigating. And she writes, "When I think of death, and of late the idea has come with alarming frequency, I seem at peace with the idea that a day will dawn when I will no longer be among those living in this valley of strange humors. I can accept the idea of my own demise, but I am unable to accept the death of anyone else. I find it impossible to let a friend or a relative go into that country of no return. Disbelief becomes my close companion, and anger follows in its wake. I answer the heroic question, 'Death, where is thy sting?' with, 'It is here in my heart and mind and memories.'" Now, from this writing, I take solace in the idea of grief having a sting, of which I store not only in my heart, but my mind, and finally in my memories. As long as I have those memories and live with them on occasion, I find the sting to be manageable most times. Thank you again, my friends, for joining me today. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode or any previous episodes. And for those who are walking on their path with grief, I hope you find a way to walk confidently on your journey to grateful. Bye-bye.